this one? Yeah, I'm working. Hallelujah. Isn't it great to be here this morning? Isn't it? Doug prayed out the back before we started, said, praying about family. And that's what it feels like this morning, doesn't it? Just like family got together. Doesn't matter if those on the flight deck make funny noises at us. It doesn't matter. And it's great that others, first time you moving in the spirit. It's because we're safe here, aren't we? God is in this place and we're safe. Hallelujah. I just love that song, Kerry. That's a beautiful song, that one. That is. Oh, it's all about relationship with God, isn't it? Our relationship with him. One pastor said, when I was in training, said to me, careful of the big bits of paper. You frighten people when you get the big bits of paper out. I used to take a folder, and that really did frighten people, but no. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we can praise you in this place. Lord, yeah, we do bow down and confess that you are Lord in this place. Okay. A little while ago, isn't it? Just a tremendous piece of scripture, a piece of message from God. That's what it is. And we say how great is our God. You know, there are some great songs out there that just magnify our Lord, isn't there? Yeah, I'm really quite moved by the worship this morning. And I could just shut up and just worship for the rest of the morning, but it might bless you more. Oh, I'm glad the youth have come back in. I was worried about them going out. But who was Jesus? Who did God tell us that Jesus was? He's the creator. All that we see, he made. He's the sustainer, the one who holds it all together and makes it work. All that has been made was made by him. He maintains it. He keeps things in perfect balance if we listen and as we move. And one day he's coming back again. He's coming back again. Yeah. You know, we need to acknowledge his power, don't we? We need to acknowledge Jesus' position, his authority. He is eternal. He's the one. And none can dethrone him. He is greater. He's the perfect expression of God. The way he moves, he reigns in righteousness, he moves in justice and splendor. He's just pretty good, isn't he? He's magnificent. I just can't think of the words this morning, even though I've got lots of big words written down here. He's just incredible. All that he's done for us, all that he's promised, and all that he will do. He's Almighty God, and yet he wants to know us. He wants to use us. He's the one who reigns in majesty, and yet he says, hey, I love you. That's incredible. But I'm moving on this morning into chapter 2 of Hebrews, and I'm just picking up the first 4 verses. And, so I'm enjoying just looking through this book and just getting more and more out of it. But Hebrews 2, verse 1 begins like this, and I'm reading from the New King James, which is my preferred. It's not everybody's preferred, but it's I just love the poetry in it and the way it's written. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and every disobedience received its just reward, how then shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We said last time, and we must remember every time we open the scriptures, that the word of God has been given by God. It's breathed and living by God. And it's there to encourage us, to build us up, to enthuse us, to direct us, to make our lives better. The word of God has been given by God. It's not, yes, there were men who wrote the books, but each man was directed and guided by God through the Spirit and through inspiration. So every time you pick up the scriptures, God is speaking. And then our scripture here starts off, says, well, if what we have been taught, if what we've heard is given by God, it must be used. And it starts off, we must give more earnest heed to it. We must pay attention to it. We must pay attention to the Word of God. It's not here just as an option. It's not just here just because, just in case we want to pick it up. This Word of God is important, isn't it? Isn't it? The Word of God is important. And the writer to the Hebrews says, inspired by God, we must pay earnest heed to it. We must hear what we hear. We should pay attention to what we read. We need to be aware of what we have. And what God says, don't treat it lightly. God means what he says, doesn't he? You know, some old saint used to say to me, there's no black and white in the things of God. And scripture says there's yes, only yes and amen, isn't there? Let your no's be no, but let your yes be yes. And there is only, don't treat the word of God lightly. And I think that's what's a big problem with the church today, and not this church, I'm talking about church universal, that they have forgotten what the word of God actually says. They've turned their back on what scripture says. And in the day that we live, we've gone back to the days of the judges, and people did what was right in their own sight. You know, we need to be careful that we do not water down or subject the word of God to as if it was nothing. I had a deacon in my first church. He was a youngish man, so it's okay. And we were sharing scripture, and he says, well, and there was two or three things. He says, well, I don't really agree with that. I don't really agree with that. And on two or three different things, I said, I was going to give you his name, then I won't. I said, give us your Bible. So he gave me his Bible. I said, what don't you agree with? He says, I don't like this bit. I says, okay, I'll rip it out. No, you can't. Well, it's not important to you. You don't believe it. So let's just take it out there. We've got to be careful. We need to pay heed. We've got to interpret it as God interprets it, not as we want to interpret it. And I was driving in this morning, thinking about how society changes us, how society works on us. And I said to my wife this week, I said, I used to be a really nice person, but I catch myself out by not being nice. The telephone rings. Hello, this is Malcolm. I am talking to you about your Microsoft computer. And I've often been rude. I've often said things that I shouldn't have said. And I said to Chris, I used to be a nice person. I would never say that to anybody, but I just get so infuriated with these phone calls. But we need to take what God says seriously. We need to take it. I'm not saying that we should be mindless robots, that we just read it, accept it, and just leave it like that. Because the Word of God needs to be absorbed into us. There are things in Scripture that I've sat down with people and I've had to reason out what it means. Because sometimes what we think it means, it doesn't actually mean. We need to look deeper. So I'm not saying just read the Scriptures and get on, you know, this the old story, I'm sure you've heard it, the guy who says, I want God to speak to me today. So he says, okay, God, speak to me. Judas went out and hung himself. No, I don't think that's right. Speak to me. Go and do likewise. You know, that's not what I'm saying. That's not how the Word of God works, is it? We need to let it absorb into us, and we need to pay heed to what God is saying. We need to think about the Word of God. We need to let it be interpreted by the Spirit and not by society. We need to allow it to move in. We must be careful. We must give earnest heed. Pay attention. And why must we do this? Well, the scripture says, lest we drift away. Lest we drift away. Now, the picture here is just a gentle floating. It's not a violent departure. It's not a running away at great speed. It's not a dramatic drop, a forced exit, but it's a gentle decline that can happen. You know, it talks of a boat by the shore that hasn't been tied in. And the tides move and the winds come up. And gently, this little boat floats away into the middle of the lake. Drifting away gradually, almost imperceptibly. But one minute, it's gone. You know, I thought about how that could be. Can we be like that? Can we allow things to come into our lives? Or not do things in our lives that would have us just gently float away from what God's perfect is? And I think we can. You know, there's a difference between just gently, mindlessly drifting away than purposely walking away. You know, I've known people who, because of experiences, they just turned their back on God, said, I've had enough. And that's a determined attitude. Obviously because they haven't understand what is going on. But what the writer here is saying is it's a gentleness, a gradual drifting away. You know, the rich young ruler, Jesus challenged him and said, you need to do this, 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 and this. And he said, well, I can't do that. He just says here, pay attention to the Word of God, how she is. Or phoning your children to say how they are. And then one day you're a little bit busy, you miss one day, you miss 2 days, you miss 3 days. And then all of a sudden you turn around and you realize you haven't spoke to your mum for 6 months. You didn't determine not to, because things have changed. And I always pray for 3 hours. I'll make it hour and a half this week. Oh, I'll make it half an hour. Oh, I'll pray tomorrow. It's not just about spiritual things, it's about life. I just let it drift on, drift away. If I go up the trees cutting down, I'd invite my son over now because he bounces better than I do. Anyhow, so we've got to be careful about letting things drift. Did God really say? Did God really say? Yes, he did. I believe we need give more attention, because what we hear, because I believe these are my thoughts, the church in our times has drifted away from God. They've compromised because society has said, oh, it's more comfortable to do it this way. I'm still quite niggled about keeping Sunday special. Now, for most of you, wouldn't even know what that's about. Once upon a time, shops never opened on Sundays. Once upon a time, people never worked on Sundays. Oh, we've got to now. Once upon a time, I wouldn't go to the same extreme as some of my friends used to. They wouldn't even let their kids go and buy an ice cream on a Sunday off the ice cream man. But, you know, things change. When we were first saved, there were certain programs my children wouldn't watch. Well, I wouldn't let them watch. But would I let my grandchildren watch them now? Has society changed my attitudes? society change your attitudes? Are we, the church, turning around and saying, it's okay to do that? Just a moment, God says it's not right to do that. Yeah, but society says. I wrote a letter to, I think it was Tony Blair, when he was talking about ministers having to do same-sex marriages. I'm way off track, by the way, of the notes. When Tony, they said, you've got to perform them. So I wrote to Tony Blair. I'm not much of an activist normally, but I did. And I said to him, if you pass this law, you're going to make me a lawbreaker, because I can't find anywhere in my scripture where it says it's right to do it. I did get an answer. Thank you very much for your comment. We will consider it. But you know, it's things like that where society have crept in and allowed the church to drift away. We have to give more attention to what God actually says in his word, what he actually thinks. My wife at the moment gets quite aggravated. When we drive out in the country, you see rubbish everywhere now. Have you noticed it? Litter everywhere. And Christine, and funny enough, her cousin said exactly the same thing last week. Where's all this litter? What's happened to keep Britain tidy? Things have drifted. People have changed. Keeping Sunday special, meeting together, compromised. Things have been all watered down. God is a God of love. We know, don't we? But people will say, God is a God of love and he'll forgive me if I do something wrong. Oh, it's okay. God won't be angry if I do this, because he's a God of love and I can get away with it. No, God is a God of justice. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. He's a God of patience. But he's also a God of justice. And he has to be listened to. His no is no, and his yes is yes. I've got to be careful how I say this. There's a term which I hear so much nowadays, which in itself is right, if you understand it, where it says, no matter what I do, God cannot love me anymore. Which is true, because God's love is full to us. But then it goes on to say, there's nothing I can do which God will love me less. As Doug said earlier, does it give us free license to do what we like? Do not steal. Well, if I steal, God won't love me any less. He won't. But you will get your just desserts. You cannot use that as an excuse to do whatever you like. God will, I can't do anything to make God love me less. As parents, we love our children, honestly. We love our children. But sometimes we don't like what they do. Yes, we don't stop loving them. But there are things which shouldn't be done. I'd say I've got to be careful on that. No grey areas in the things of God. If you haven't gathered, it's quite serious this morning, isn't it? I don't like compromise in the kingdom of God. As Adrian said, and I agree with him, I'm not perfect either. But I'm trying. If you haven't noticed, I don't like compromise. And I do recognize there are areas in my life that I don't like, that need changing. And something has to be done about it. Pay more heed to what God is saying. How shall we escape? Well, it says the words spoken by the angels and by the prophets were important. How much more is the word of God important? And how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation. This was the message that Wesley and Whitfield and that the old day preachers that brought revival to this country preached. How can we ignore the greatest salvation that has come? There is no way that we can escape if we ignore it. Escape from what? The judgment of God. We are saved from the judgment of God because Christ has borne the wrath of God as when he took our sins. As I said, God's a God of love. He won't punish me when I get things wrong. That's true to an element. When we make mistakes that we don't realize we're doing, there is forgiveness. When we go on continually sinning, we're almost thumbing our nose at God, saying, I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to ignore what you say and do it my way. Say, we might forgive a child, for we will forgive a child when they don't know what they're doing. But after a while, they need to be taught a lesson. God is not a big, God is not a great headmaster with a cane who's going to punish and whip us every time we do something wrong. No, he's not. But we read that he is a God of justice and things need to be worked out. The back half of that second verse says, and every transgression and every disobedience received a just reward. That shouldn't be. There's a positive and a negative to that. When your child does something good, they get rewarded. Let's talk about my favourite son. He's about this tall and brown with big floppy ears. He's wonderful. My Monty. When he does something right, he gets a treat. When he does something wrong, he doesn't get smacked, but he doesn't get a treat. Am I saying that's how God deals with us? Yes and no. Pray that through for yourself. There's another aim to that. Another verse, the NIV says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And there's a slight difference. To neglect something is to be aware of it and to let it rot, to let it fall apart, to let it go. If you get a squeak in your car and it starts getting louder, you do something about it, don't you? You either get the oil can out or you go take it to a mechanic or you do something about it. We just can't ignore what God says. We can't neglect what God says because what he says is important to every aspect of our life. To neglect is to not maintain what we've been given. We need to look after our Christian life, our Christian walk. We need to pay attention to God. We need to keep in communication with God. And it says, For if the word was spoken through angels, proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received its just reward. We will be rewarded for what we do, as we shouldn't do. You know, a deacon or an elder at the door, and if you didn't come in one Sunday, it bound to be the next Sunday, but you missed a blessing. And I wonder how many blessings I've missed because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Or I did something I shouldn't have done. I missed a blessing. And if I neglect it, it'll fall apart. If we neglect the word of God, if we neglect what God says through the Spirit, through the preaching, through the teaching, through the scriptures, through your Bible studies, if we neglect it, our little boat will drift away until all of a sudden we wake up and we're in the middle of a lake, and the only way to get back is by hard work, by rowing, by asking forgiveness, by calling upon him. So great a salvation, the saving grace of God to deal with us in the light of our sin. Sin is everything and anything that displeases or goes against the perfect will of God. Anything. As God's creation, yes, we're all God's creation, aren't we? We have the opportunity to receive salvation from the consequences of our sin. Our sin, our wrongdoing, our turning against God demanded that we should die. And how can we escape if we ignore that Christ Jesus has brought us salvation? How will we survive if we turn our backs and neglect that as if it never happened? We can't. We can't. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, part of the eternal Godhead, left heaven and came down to this earth to take the punishment that's due for your sin and my sin. This is salvation. He took the sins of the world that all may be presented before his Father in the glory. That's what he's done for us. But unless we have received and taken that salvation to ourselves, we're not going to see that. The Bible tells me that if we ignore Christ, we will spend eternity in hell, separated from God. Now, I'm not embarrassed to talk about hell. Hell is anywhere that God isn't. This day and age perhaps is not politically correct to talk in this way, but I'm going to. If you haven't received Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. But if you have, then the glory is waiting for you. Not just in heaven, but in every day of our lives as we walk. It's there for us. I do rant against society and the way things have gone. And I know some of my grandchildren totally disagree with my stand. I know it. They think I'm a bit too firm, a bit too hard, not caring enough. But I care what my Saviour says. I care what my Lord has asked of me. And you can't persuade me any different, I'm afraid. Well, I'm not afraid, actually. And on that day of departure, whether you've received Christ or not, it's going to happen to all of us. Or when he comes again, those who have received him, those who haven't ignored or neglected such a great salvation, well, shall be caught up in the glory with it. We shall be caught in the clouds, and we shall see him face to face. And what happens after that, I don't mind. It's going to be good. But the message to the church, to those believers, the writer of the Hebrews, these Jewish believers who have received Christ, was getting this: be careful you don't drift away. Can you lose your salvation? I don't think so. But I tell you, you can lose a lot of blessing on the way. I had to do a postgraduate studies on the book of Hebrews. Perhaps that's why I like it so much. And the lecturers wrote that you could lose your salvation. We'll cover that when we get to that chapter. And I had to say, oh, sorry, I disagree. I disagree on that. But I tell you, I don't want to be Mr. Blessing. I don't want to be, oh, you've missed out. David, you couldn't smell the flowers, those beautiful irises on the sea, on the shore, because your boat's drifted too far. I want to keep my head and smell the roses daily. I want to know the blessing of God while I'm alive. I don't want to miss out. Salvation in this life is having God with us through every step. Have the Father, Son watching over and interceding, having the Spirit active daily in our lives, in every circumstance and every situation. He's with us. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I need. And I will reinstate it. I will restate it. I'm not perfect, and I'm not proclaiming to be. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try and tie my boat to that pier tightly. No matter what society tells me. There are people who tell me that Jesus never rose from the dead. I know he did. And I'm going to hold on to that. Amen. I know that Jesus heals the sick. I'm going to hold on to that. Jesus hears our prayers. Even if sometimes we think they bounce off the roof. But God says he hears our prayers. I'm going to hold on to that. And if I hold on to that, I can pray with understanding and believing. That's where I'm trying to stand. I don't, and I get it wrong sometimes. But I don't want to spend my life paddling for the shore all the time. I love to rest in the presence of my God. I love to be comfortable. If I'm paddling, I don't like hard work. I like to be comfortable. And the best place to be comfortable has been declared by God. And God's word is truth. And we need to pay attention. So anyhow, next time maybe we'll look a bit deeper into what God has happened as we go into more of Hebrews 2. But let me just wind this up a bit this morning. It's almost as a warning to us as Christians to take care of what is given to us. And four scriptures for you. Hold firm to those things you know to be true in regard to the kingdom of God. Do not allow others to persuade you that it's wrong. That's what the devil did on that day when Adam and Eve fell. Did God really say? Perhaps he didn't mean that. Or perhaps it wasn't that. And they believed it and they fell. So we need to be careful of the Satan in society that tells us that Jesus never died. Jesus never existed. Jesus, just is a non-entity. Don't just let us be confused by society will tell you that God will let you get away with anything. Yes, in Jesus, the Old Testament has been fulfilled. But I wouldn't recommend you go out and murder on that state. Do not steal. Do not murder. Do not covet another's wife. Or goat, or anything else. Look after what God has given to you. Listen to what you've read, what the Holy Spirit imparts to you. Then we will not drift away. We will not compromise. Treat as nothing these things that come with the blessings and the grace of God. They're not knowing correction, punishment, judgment that our actions deserve. God would have us all to walk within his constant blessing. I want to be blessed, don't you? I love being blessed. And blessing will be our portion as we walk in the will of God. If we attend to his will as he desires, we will know blessing. For all who have called on the Lord, our Jesus Christ, as our Savior, shall be saved. Definitely, certainly, all those who call on the name of God shall be saved. and they'll enter his kingdom, and one day we'll spend eternity with them. But it's not just the kingdom of God future, it's kingdom of God now. We live in the eternal now. The kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is within you now. There's so much more I could say, and there's so much more I've missed out. I hope I haven't put you to sleep. I hope, and my prayer is that along with me, you'll pay more attention to the Word of God. And not allow society to take us down a path where all of a sudden the things of God no longer matter. And pray for the church worldwide that we might return to godly times. Once a year I go to a church in Africa, and we're going again in a couple of months' time. The thing I love about going to that church is they've got nothing. The pastor lives in a mud hut. He's got a congregation of 280 people and a Sunday school of over 100, but he lives in a mud hut. The thing I love about them is if God said it, they believe it and they move with it because they have a simple faith. Not a stupid, daft faith, but they believe what God says. And you know what happens when you believe what God says? Miracles happen. Let miracles happen in this place. Father, as I prayed earlier, forgive the stumblings of a human being. But Father, help me, oh Lord, help me to heed the words that I've spoken this morning, to heed the words that I hear from you, that you will be glorified in my life.